I want to talk today about the helper. As we go into a new year, everyone is thinking about change. Everyone's thinking about, you know, what do I want to look ahead to? And one of the most crucial things you will ever do is make this change that I'm going to talk about today. When you look at the Bible, the New Testament divides the human race into three groups. Okay? The Apostle Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, and then all the way through into chapter 3. Now, here's the three groups that he groups the entire human race into. The first he calls the natural man. Now, the natural man is just, you're here on this planet, but the presence of God has not been invited into this person, and so they are not ignited with God himself. They are just natural men, natural women. The second group that the Bible talks about in the New Testament is the carnal man. Now, the carnal man is a person who has given their lives to Christ. And because of that, the presence of God is within them and has ignited this spirit of God, their human spirit. They are alive with the life of God. And when they die, they go to be with Jesus. But the unique thing about this person is that they're called the carnal man because they have never moved in with Holy Spirit. By that I mean fellowship with Holy Spirit and got into God's Word so that the Word becomes real to them and it begins to transform their life. So they literally live like a natural man, even though they are born again. They are alive with the presence of God. You often cannot tell the difference between a natural man and a carnal Christian. The word carnal, we use that word a little differently today. It says, oh, they're into deep sin. And they might be. But the carnal man simply is a term that refers to someone who has never begun to move into the things of the Word and allowed Holy Spirit to reveal them himself and to reveal the Word to them. The third group of the human race that the Bible talks about is the spiritual man. And it talks here about people who are uniquely different from anyone else on the planet. And that is, they've allowed the Helper, Holy Spirit, to begin to teach them, reveal to them. They are more aware. They are more sensing of God's Word. Okay, they're not more aware of judging other people like so many Christians do and so many churches do, or studying everybody else as though you're going to be an expert on their sin and where they're going. And church for so many people has become so weird. It's either dead and boring or it's alive, but in a way it's almost crazy stupid. And we're way off of our boundaries trying to use our spirituality on others rather than becoming spiritually alive. And so today I want to talk about this. Because when it comes to faith, we must believe. Even today as I speak, you will have a choice. Your choice will be to trust and believe the Word. And if you choose not to, and it's a choice, I don't believe this is all hogwash, but I'll sit through this. You know, it doesn't bother me anymore. I used to, as a young man, I'd try to convince everybody. I stopped, and I just teach the Word. And I ask Holy Spirit to anoint His Word because I know I cannot change you. So I stop trying. Makes church easy. It makes my stress level just go right down to nothing. Because I'm not responsible to change you. If I do, I'm going to start manipulating you. I'm going to start dominating you. And I don't want to do that. Because everybody here has a free will. Everybody here makes their own choices. Once you get past the age of accountability, nobody can change you without you desiring to. Nobody can change the direction of your life. Not even God. Because he's given you this thing called free will. And you get to live the way you want, where you want, how you want. You get to think what you want, believe what you want. And you take all the consequences that go with all your thinking, believing, and decision making. And so many people will try to change those consequences. And I found that out too. I can't change people's consequences. Okay? Now I can teach them the word. And then as they begin to use their faith, and Jesus never said, my faith healed you. He always said, go your way. Your faith healed you. He always talked about the word changing them. So as we look at the word today, I want you to become very aware that the greatest thing you can do as 2019 comes up is make a decision. I am going to move from either a natural man, which means you've never really given your life to Christ and invited him in, believed on him, to a spiritual man. Or if you're a believer, but your Christianity is really on, it isn't much changed from when I was in the world. I know. It's called the carnal Christian. Nothing much changes. Now, the only way this changes is to allow Holy Spirit, the presence of God, to begin to guide you. And where he will guide you isn't just into decision making, he will guide you into the word. You'll begin to have a desire for the word. You know, everybody here has desires, and desires that you have developed, like golf. Golf, I hate golf. Just hate. I cannot believe how a grown man can smack a little ball hundreds of yards and walk for hours chasing it through the bush and trying to hit it into a little hole. I cannot believe that. Yet all of my friends are absolutely in love with it. They've developed this desire for it. If they can just get a morning off and get up at 5:30 and have breakfast and leave at 6 o'clock and get there by 7 o'clock and hit this stupid little ball all over God's green earth, they are as happy as can be. They have developed this desire. Now, I've developed other desires in my life, and it's amazing how that we can develop desires. Like, so you must develop and see the importance of this desire of Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, it's interesting, a Muslim friend I had met, and we were visiting and talking about the things of God, and he said, you know, you Christians, you have three gods. And I said, I know you struggle with that. And I said, but the Bible says there is only one God, but he's in three persons. And it is a hard thing to completely understand, so we have to trust him that there is one God in three literal persons. They all have the same attributes. They all have the same characteristics, same character, but they're three uniquely different persons. And so Holy Spirit, who is on this planet now to carry out the wishes of God, his goal is to reveal to you what Jesus did on the cross. And as you begin to understand what it is that Jesus did when he took on a human body and he died in your place, he took your sin, that all of your sins are forgiven. The past sins, your future sins, the sins right now. Now, the word sin, again, means to miss the mark for God's best. Okay, it does not mean that if you sin, you miss heaven. Okay, and that's a whole other topic as we get into it. So this relationship, this and Holy Spirit, as he is with you today as a Christian, he's going to try to get you into the word. The most important thing Holy Spirit's going to do is to get you into the word. You know, so many people think there's something deeper than the Bible. But according to the Bible, and I'll show you in some of the verses and you can read for yourselves later, that there is nothing deeper than the Bible. There are no revelations needed of the spirit world and the future that are outside of the Bible. All these great people, whether it's Nostradamus or people you think that have an incredible, ever read a spiritual book and you kind of go, whoa, that is so deep, I don't get it. Am I the only one? You know, I'll pick up some of these books by some of these great minds, and that Oprah thinks is amazing, and so-and-so thinks is amazing, and people, the natural man who has an undeveloped spirit, you know, they just, oh, and I read it, I kind of go, you wouldn't believe how many books I've picked up to take a look at it, and just garbage, 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 because I've learned to trust that if Holy Spirit and I can't understand something, it's balderdash. Okay? So all of the deepest things that will ever be needed on this planet are hidden in his word and Holy Spirit's job. Now, you can learn about animals, you can learn about atoms, that's the natural world. You can learn about gravity and other, you know, things that govern the physical world. You can study the creation, learn and grow. But the spirit things, there are no books out there that are an expert on spiritual things other than the Bible. Nothing. You know, someone might experience a few things and begin to write this plethora of ideas of what the spirit world is going to be like. But anytime I've sat down and spoken with everything from warlocks to witches to people who are, you know, there's always new titles of white witches, dark witches, I'm called this, I'm called that. And the devil's pretty smart. And he just gets people hooked into things that keeps their brain going, oh. Someone said to me, what do you think about UFOs? I think it's just lying signs and wonders to keep people off of God and to study and pursue things that are just balderdash. Okay? And we just move away from the things of God. So many Christians have moved away from the Word and just thought, yeah, it's the Bible, and forgotten it is the deepest, most phenomenal book on the planet. Not only will it give you the keys to healthy countries. I keep saying this because people don't, you know, anytime someone says, well, why do you think Christianity is real? Well, there's a ton of reasons, but one that is so obvious is, why does every religion on the planet trying to get to a Christian country? Their religion based upon, you know, they base their country on their religious beliefs, and they don't get freedom for kids, freedom for women. They don't get protection of property, protection of finances. They're all trying to get to a country that bases its laws on the Bible, the Ten Commandments. And they're trying to get there in incredible droves. They're all running for Christian countries, and they love it. Now, they don't want to change their religion. In fact, they're trying to force their religion on our countries, thinking that it's better. Well, if it was so better, why did you leave your country, which was founded on your religion? Just a thought. And we love them, okay? We love them. So it's not the issue at all. So as you look at God's Word, so many Christians are trying to clean up their lives. Continually, nonstop, trying to clean up something in their lives. And they work at it, and they're driving at it, and they're pushing at it. And everything is about trying to clean up their lives. And they're missing the whole gospel. That'd be like me getting married, and then I just continually go to the gym to look better for her. And then I continually go to the library to get smarter for her. And then I got a second and a third job to get more money for her. And then I go on long walks by myself to get my brain together and to find myself so I can be better for her. Well, I'll fit her in somewhere this week, but I'm so busy getting myself better for her. That's most Christians for God. And you forgot the reason we got married was to have a relationship. Oh, we'll work on it together, getting better. But just to spend your whole life. And so Christians are so locked into the old covenant, trying to be better, get better, stop this, do this. And they don't realize that it's the relationship with Him that empowers you to become different. When we begin to look at the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's read a few verses together, and I believe it's going to help you. I'm reading from the Expanded Bible. If you want to download or pick up a Bible that is one of our newest translations, and it's fascinating, as some of the most brilliant minds on the planet in languages, historical experts, have taken and just put a Bible together that it's a little harder to read in a flowing manner. It's designed to study. If you want a flowing Bible, read The Voice. That's a great one. We give it out to all of our people who give their lives to Christ at the end of our service. But here's what it says. As it is written in the scriptures, no one, it says in the King James, no eye, has ever seen this. No one has ever heard about it. No one has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, all the carnal Christians go, that's when you get to heaven. No. You know, different geography isn't the revelation. The revelation isn't what the bricks in heaven are made out of. The revelation isn't what games we're going to play in heaven. The revelation isn't what food we're going to eat in heaven. The revelation isn't how long are we going to be in heaven. This revelation has got to do with who we are, who Jesus is, and it's for right now. When we get to heaven, it doesn't say we're going to learn more. It actually, all it says is we're going to get a new body. That's about it. It says, but God has shown, revealed to us these things through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches out, examines, scrutinizes all things, even the deep secrets the deep things, the depths of God? Who knows the thoughts that another person has? Well, a lot of people think they do. Only a person's spirit that lives within him knows his thoughts. It is the same with God. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we did not receive the spirit of the world, speaking to Christians, but we received the Spirit that is from God, so that we can know all that God has freely given. And we speak about these things not with words taught us by human wisdom, but with words taught us by the Spirit. All right, so let's just stop right there. This thing goes on to talk about that the spiritual man is a person who is born again and then begins to desire this relationship with God. And Holy Spirit begins to take him to the Word. It is the instruction booklet. It is an instruction booklet about a relationship with God. And as you dive into the Word, which is why we come to church, which is why we do devotions, which is why we go and listen to messages, whether it's on YouTube or you know, where we've got the message and just feed on God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He's not talking about bread as in for your natural body. He's talking about a revelation. And as you begin to feed on God's Word, as you begin to get fascinated with God's Word, I'm always worried when I meet someone who talks like this, yeah, I never can understand it. So, you know, your 20, 30 minute message is about all I can really fit in. And I kind of go, ooh, carnal Christian. You know, you'll pay the price to spend 4 hours every 4 days to go bang a little white bob all over God's green earth, and you'll study clubs, you'll study posture, you'll study where your knees go, your hands go, you'll study your chin, where it goes, you'll study all the greats that are out there, you'll watch countless hours of golf, or you watch hockey, you know the numbers of every player on every team and their scoring, and then you join these hockey leagues where you can play from, you know, you know tons of stuff, and then you're in awe when I know the Word. No, I just spend time in the Word like you spend time in hockey or in golf, or, you know, you're experts on who's on Instagram right now. You've been following so-and-so and the Kardashians over here. Da, da, da. And I mean, you spend countless hours just... and then you're amazed when someone just has a sense of peace and joy and a life that grows. It's just the Word. It's not just. It's phenomenal. It's beautiful. And Holy Spirit's job, He is the helper. One of the problems with mature Christians, if you've been raised in Christianity and you've been in the Word, and one of our biggest problems with you is that you know the stories of the Bible and you know the basic 10 doctrines of the Bible, so you think you know the Bible. But the Bible says there's no end to the depth of what God will show you and reveal to you. And that these, as you get into God's Word, there's a peace that passes understanding. There's an ability to navigate this world and the demonic attacks or just the normal storms that this life has. You'll walk up guided and led. And if you just throw up your hands and go, I can do whatever I want, welcome to hell ahead of time, because you're not going to make it. The Word is so beautiful. It's so incredible. You know, people will sometimes ask me, like, well, how do you do it? You know, you seem to be kind of okay. And I go, well, I'm walking through the same world you are, with the same relationship attacks and financial attacks and physical attacks, mental attacks and worldly storms and economies and plane crashes and car crashes and all the stuff that's on the planet. I just got very dependent. Yeah, I'm dependent too. No, I mean on the Word. I mean on Holy Spirit. Others are dependent on things that kind of just help them to handle life. You know, I just need a couple glasses of wine to just keep my afternoons okay. And, you know, I just got to smoke a couple because it just kind of it mellows me out because my brain's not going. And I just need to get aside. And okay, all these things that you do to handle life, why don't you get into the Word and change it? Why don't you get into the Word and allow the presence of God to guide you through this world? In John 14, 15 to 18, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, when Jesus says my commandments, he's not talking about the 10. Anytime Jesus says keep my commandments, or anytime the New Testament says keep my commandments, he's talking about love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. That's what he's talking about, okay? Because the Sabbath, which is in the commandments, anyway. So if you keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he's going to give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. That means the Holy Spirit that's helping you today will be the same one upon us in heaven. It says, and the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't even receive, because it neither knows him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. The word sees there is the word senses. They don't sense Holy Spirit. They don't know Holy Spirit. But you know him. He dwells with you and he'll be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A lot of times in my Christian life, this life of serving Jesus, I will listen to, you know, now that you've got YouTube and books on Kindle, man, you can study anybody, anywhere, anytime. And you listen to some of the most brilliant natural minds. And if you stay in that natural mind's thinking, you'll begin to question as never before the spiritual truths that have changed your life. And often I've got to, I read so much stuff that when I read stuff, I always say, Holy Spirit, help me to keep to seek first the kingdom of God as I read. That I'm reading this knowing Jesus is Lord, knowing Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, knowing there's nothing deeper, more brilliant than the Bible, because according to Timothy, the Bible was given to 40 men over the course of 1,600 years under the inspiration of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit settled on them and guided them to pen things that will be, like, how can 40 men over the courses of 1,600 years be so amazing? Amazingly, flawlessly accurate. And then you get some natural man reading it. Well, the Bible's full of contradictions. Yeah, because you don't get it. You don't even have the Holy Spirit in you to get it. All you're reading is some of the historical stuff, and you're trying to mix that with some of the scientific stuff, and you don't get it. It's not a book written to the natural man. It is a book written to the spiritual man, and you can only get it. If you have an aha moment, it's not because your brain got smarter. It's because you yielded to Holy Spirit, and he revealed it to you. And it becomes so addictive as you listen to Holy Spirit and read the Bible and say, God, guide me. As you learn to yield to him. And as you yield to him, there's a peace you could never get as a typical carnal Christian just going to church trying to be good. You begin to have a relationship with him. You begin to love the Word of God. In Acts chapter 12, verse 24, it says, but the Word of God grew and multiplied. Here's a key that few people see. It doesn't say the church multiplied. It says the Word of God. It doesn't say Christians multiplied. It says, but the Word of God. Why? They were in the early church, the difference between them and us, they were fascinated with the Bible. Just like someone who's fascinated with a topic. You know, I couldn't get through hardly any of my high school. I mean, I graduated and my marks were okay. But when I was training to be a paramedic, I was so fascinated with getting out of an ambulance in the middle of an accident scene and coming to a medical situation where you had to literally know that, I mean, I literally pulled off hundreds of 99s of some of the most complex exams, like when it comes to drugs and opening up cars and figuring things out, because I was interested. I was interested. Until you begin to get interested in the Word and see that when the Word multiplies in you, everything changes. When the Word, Acts chapter 6 and verse 7 says, then the Word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were even obedient to the faith. When the Word spreads, it does something to cities. When the Word of God, and so we've got to stop as preachers, you know, feeding taffy to an already diabetic congregation. And as shallow as we can get it, Jesus loves you. Good Lord, could we get a little bit deeper? But Leon, that's pretty deep. I know what you're saying. I'm just saying it's the Word that must spread to touch a city. It's the Word that must spread to touch a country. It's the Word that must spread in you. It's the Word that must grow in you to bring this incredible life that's been talked about here in the Word. In Acts chapter 13, 48, now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, glorified the Word of the Lord. Wait, stop. What did they do? They raised up God's Word. This Word is amazing. God's words, you don't hear that anymore. It's like, which church has got a cool pastor? Has he got ripped jeans? And do they have a really good community? Is there great stuff for the kids? Is there great stuff for this? And I get that. We work on those things as a church. But those things are all secondary to the Word. all secondary to the word. You better find a church, and you better find a church where as you listen, God's word comes alive and inspires you to read. And then if it's not, and then all the rest help us work on it, but get plugged into a local church. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout the region. Do you know that when you come alive with God's word and you begin to be fascinated with God's word, you can sit down with anybody and just start talking about God's word, and they'll be fascinated with it because you are. If you sit down and try to argue the word, no one wants to go there. In John 8:32, it says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And I wrote it this way, "And you will know the word, and the word will set you free." Now, there was a day when I was a teenager that when I went to church, you know, in my dad's church, you would see Bibles everywhere, notebooks everywhere, and a pen in everybody's hand as they begin to try to learn the word, as they wanted to know the principles of God's word. Now, I'm not saying that because you don't have one in your hand, but a lot of us use, you know, iPads and things, and or they'll go get the tape and do it afterwards. But I'm just saying that we cannot lose this. We cannot let, you know, everything that has to be quick. Everything's quick today. Which flight can I get to Winnipeg? Whichever's quicker. You know, I want popcorn. Don't put it on the stove. Microwave it. 2 minutes and 20 seconds, bam, instant. You know, Jell-O, don't stir it on the stove. Mic that sucker. Get her in the microwave. Everything about us is fast, 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 fast. That's like getting married and say, I don't have a lot of time to hang with you, so let's really get close in the 3 minutes I give you every day. Who's going to go for that? This thing called Christianity, we must begin to know His Word. And I don't mean memorizing it. I don't mean figure out all the books of the Bible and then, no, I'm talking about Jesus is the Word. And as you begin to see what Jesus did for you, and as you get into God's word, it begins to grow in you. And when you have quiet times, recognize your spirit has desires, your body has desires, and your mind has desires. Often I'll feel a desire right now to just get into the word and sit down. And before I can do that, oh, I get a desire to eat. And it's kind of, it's like the enemy's tempting us to get away from the things that are spiritual desires. Or all of a sudden, you know, I'll have a desire just to sit down and just spend some time listening to the teaching of God's word. Oh no, I forgot I got to phone one of my brothers. And there's this relational desire pops up. And all these other desires, they try to come in and choke out the word. So I never have time to get into the word. So you must make spiritual desires a precedent. You must recognize, you know, I got to close, but how can I? I've become very aware of the different kinds of desires that are within me. Like, there's times I feel exhausted, and I'm starting to feel sick, and I just feel like I want to give into it. Just go on the couch, give me a hot water bottle, everyone look after me today. I have that desire, and I find that I have to say no, and just pull myself out of that. I find that I've got desires at times just to go and eat and just do things and just, I don't know if you have the same way, but then I recognize that this desire to stay strong, to know Christ, to get up and say, no, I don't need people to feel sorry for me. I don't need everyone to look after me. I have Jesus. And so the spirit man has a different kind of desire than your flesh does, because your flesh is always narcissistic. And your soul as well, this mind and this emotions, until it's trained, will always go towards the natural things of life. But oh my, when you begin to just say, I am going to, and I'm challenging you for 2019, move into this beautiful category of a relationship. And believe Holy Spirit is going to teach you. Believe that as you go into His Word and as you listen to messages or you find great teaching books, and don't waste your time on garbage. This world has, I don't know how many tens of thousands of new books being written every day, and we think because it's written in a book, the guy's smart. You know, I love books, but books were ruined for me when I began to do that talk show that we do. And I began to interview people from around the world who wrote books. Okay, well, why does everyone wants to write a book. Ever notice that? Everyone wants to write a book. And And I think in most cases, there's nothing you're adding. You're regurgitating what's already in a book, so just go live it. But don't think that because it's in a book or because this person has sold 4 million copies that it's even true. The world has a crazy appetite for stuff that is ridiculous. And the Bible says in the last days, people will have itchy ears going after things that are ridiculous. Let's go to His Word. Could you begin to believe that everything that you need is hidden in Christ? And Holy Spirit will teach you. He will show you. And in 2019, if you want to radically change your entire world, your future, your personality, your desires, if you want to radically change your relationships, if you want to change your physical body, if you want to change your relationship, that it's all in God's Word. Decide, I'm going to get out to church every Sunday. I'm going to begin to study. I'm going to pick up and listen to messages on things. And if you don't get anything here, then find another church. But if you like what's being taught here, then don't just stay on the fringe. Dive in and become a player. It's interesting when you go to, you know, football games. I remember going to a football game one time, and the guy in front of me hadn't seen his toes, I'm sure, in 20 years. And he's sitting there screaming at the quarterback and telling all the friends around him everything the quarterback was doing wrong. And I thought, who are you? Who are you? You in the fringe. You paying to watch him and you're telling him how to be a... And that guy went out and played and competed and trained his body and his arm. And he went out to boot camp and everything else that he did. And he's like, don't be on the fringe with the things of God. Don't be sitting up in the stands watching all the things the Church of Jesus Christ is doing. Why don't you become one of the star players? I don't mean a star according to everybody else. Just get in there and decide, I want Holy Spirit to use me and teach me. And I want my family, my home, my marriage, my future. I want to begin to see it move in a place that is powerful. Only the Word increasing in you will have the ability to change. You will know truth, and truth will make you free. Truth is the Word. That's why I like putting, and you will know the Word, and the Word will make you free. Fall in love with God's Word. Recognize that Jesus Himself said, I'm going to send you a helper, and He's going to guide you into everything you need to know. Father, thank You for Your presence. I pray that as we come to an end of 2018, that we're going to just fall in love with You. We're going to recognize that the Bible is the most stunning book ever written. It still causes the most brilliant minds of every generation to bow to its wisdom and to give their lives to Jesus. Help us to make these decisions. With every head bowed for just a moment, as you're listening to me just talk, maybe in your life, there's been a sense of change coming, a sense of, I need to change. There's a desire to be all you can be, but you're not sure which way to go. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm going to lead you in the most powerful prayer I know. A prayer that nobody can pray for you. Only you can make the decision to give your life to Him. And I'm going to pray that prayer with everybody right from your seats. But if you'd like to be included and you'd say to me, Leon, today, include me. I need to give my life to Christ. Would you just open your eyes and all over the auditorium, just raise a hand. Say, thank you. Thank you. Others. Just say, yeah, Leon, include me. Thank you. Thank you. I want to give my life to Christ. Thank you. For those who are watching on our other campuses, there's a pastor at the front, a leader at the front, and waiting for your hand. I'll give you 3 seconds. I got to pray. But just wave at him real quick. Just saying, include me. God is looking for your hand. He's waiting for your decision. And something tremendous will take place in your life today and into your future. If you choose Him, let Him come in and do the rest. Let's all pray with these amazing folks who raised their hand. The prayer goes like this. Just say, dear God, thank you for sending Jesus, who died in my place and qualified me to be in God's family. Come into my heart. Forgive me for everything I've done wrong. From today and on, I'm following you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how amazing, that's how awesome that is.